Hello, humans. Welcome to the Chill the Fuck Out podcast. I'm your host, Ashley O'Brien. Welcome to a space meant to be for you to pause your day, week, month, or even year, to take a breath and a moment for yourself with yourself. A place to discuss, learn, grow through, and maybe even laugh about mental illness, trauma, abuse, mental health, emotional difficulties, healing, and what we can do to overcome it all, to live and be present in lives we love. Hello, healing humans. I hope you've been chilling the fuck out, or at least working on chilling the fuck out. I want to start by saying thank you. Thank you for the support with the launch of the pause. I'm so excited to start hearing from listeners and you feeling like you have someone you can tell your experiences to. I do want to say that anything you email or message me privately will be kept between us, unless you specifically ask that I share your story. In that case, I will contact you and do everything I can to deliver it in the way that helps you the most. I'd love for this to be an outlet for listeners to be able to tell their story as a part of healing, privately or publicly. If you do want to share your story or experience and want me to share it in an episode of The Pause, you can email me at ctfolistener@gmail.com and put my story in the subject line. I do feel the need to mention that I am not affiliated or sponsored by any of the organizations or resources I mention, unless I specifically say so and make it clear that they are a sponsor or affiliate. Part of my goal is to create awareness about any resource that might help a survivor of childhood trauma, neglect, and abuse. If you do have resources, tips, or constructive criticism to share, you can email me at ctfolistener@gmail.com and put "I'd like to help" in the subject line. I did receive information from a new listener about an awesome organization who raises awareness regarding male sexual abuse and assault, especially in childhood. It's called 1in6.org. They provide a platform for men to tell their stories and share with people who can relate to what they've gone through. They have a 24/7 online helpline for men and supporters of men who struggle after experiences of sexual abuse and assault. They have tons of resources, including support groups and ways to donate to keep them doing the great work they're doing. Thank you, listener, for sharing that. And thank you, 1in6.org, for doing the work you are doing. I'll put the link for this in the show notes. A couple of updates to give regarding my previous episodes. First, I have started taking a heavy-duty probiotic geared toward female digestive and urinary health, and I am blown away. I have been taking it for almost 3 weeks and have had no brain fog the entire time. That's the only thing I can really attribute it to, so I will have to revisit a discussion regarding hormonal involvement and maybe gut health and connecting it to mental health at some point in the future. Second, I did get feedback that the example of sexual abuse I give in the first episode was significantly more intense than I realized. I do want to be real and have real and frank discussions here regarding the childhood abuses and traumas many of us have experienced. But if it's so intense, listeners don't want to continue, it defeats the purpose. So I have edited that first episode to decrease the intensity of that example and will work on finding the balance with those types of discussions going forward. Because yes, having this outlet is definitely helpful for me, but the ultimate goal is to create a resource for other survivors. So thank you for the constructive feedback. Now I think that's all the pre-show items I wanted to touch on, so let's get into it. Today we are discussing validation, a significant and pinnacle experience in healing. So what is validation? From the Oxford Dictionary, the action of checking or proving the validity or accuracy of something, recognition or affirmation that a person or their feelings or opinions are valid or worthwhile. In my own words, validation is the act of someone listening in a receptive manner to the feelings, experiences, and opinions of another person, without judgment, with acceptance, and with the ability to show that acceptance and understanding of that person. It's important to know that you don't need to understand what someone lived through in order to support them. You just need to believe that what they are experiencing is real for them. That's from a post by Vanessa Schoen on The Mighty, which seems to be a social media type platform for people to find and create communities and tell their stories about all manner of survival, including childhood trauma, neglect, and abuse. I do plan to learn more about this platform, but I will also put the link to that post in the show notes. Okay, so now I need to go on a sidebar rant for a minute. One of the most invalidating things anyone can do is make it known that you think someone having a special need because of their mental illness makes them weak. Or saying things like, toughen up, get over it, you need to move on, it's in the past. We know we need to move on. What the fuck do you think we're trying to do? How about back off and either be supportive or give us some fucking space so we can do what we need to do to overcome it and move forward into the lives that we really want? Please do not make the mistake of thinking any of us want to be stuck in this mental state where we're triggered into panic and survival mode by everyday things and rendered somehow less capable of just getting over it or moving on by dissociation, depression, and self-sabotage because we were taught that we were worthless and unsafe in our own skin. We must be able to deal with it and heal it, which takes time, love, compassion, effort, support, understanding, and patience. If you can't give that to someone, cool, that's fine. It's not your responsibility. But please, at least stay out of their way by not making comments or suggestions about how you think they're weak or unworthy of time and support so we can heal. To the survivors who have been invalidated in this way, fuck those people. They obviously have no idea what they're talking about. I know sometimes it's someone who cares for you, who thinks they're giving you good advice, but they need education, and this is an area where it is 100% appropriate to set a boundary. You do not have to tolerate this from anyone, and if they're a part of your support system and won't stop this thinking, at least with you, then part of your boundary may need to be not sharing with them and consistently calling them out when they cross your boundaries. I'll talk about some tools for this later in the episode, and in the next episode, we're going to be talking about boundaries. So stay strong and expecting what you need from those who want to support you. You are worthy of it. Okay, back to the discussion. So my experiences regarding validation. Oh man, have I been invalidated. When I was a child and still in the abusive household that I was born into, I was constantly invalidated. I was called a liar once I told the truth about being sexually assaulted. I was told I was worthless, the devil was whispering in my ear, I was evil, I should never have been born, and the list goes on. Anytime I wanted to reach for something or do something that was outside of their comfort zone, I was verbally knocked down more than a few notches. Then, when I was out of there, I was so validated and loved and supported, and it was overwhelming and amazing, and I grew into trusting it and even sometimes expecting to be validated. Then I went to high school. I had my own struggles through high school, including being harsh and judgmental and often openly. I did quite a bit of invalidating, and it came right back. I had a big, bold attitude backed by underlying anger from everything I'd gone through, and there were times that I wasn't just rude, I was cruel. Like many survivors, I passed some of what was done to me onto others, into my 20s, including to family and friends. This is a point of guilt and shame I carried with me for a long time. I'm still working on forgiving myself and making amends where I see appropriate, but this is something we all have to work on forgiving in ourselves and letting go of. We are worthy of forgiveness and allowing ourselves to move on. Punishing yourself won't undo it, and not letting it go causes you unnecessary suffering and separation from others. I'll do an episode on forgiveness and one on survivors passing on their pain in the future. To those who have been victimized because of a survivor who has passed on their hurt, them receiving validation and forgiveness for what they've done and why does not invalidate your hurt or experiences, and those people should face consequences where appropriate. As a teen and an adult, I had people who love me tell me things like, you need to get over it, you need to move on, you have to let it go, it's in the past, other people have it worse. There were also people outside of my support system who would criticize me, say cruel things, avoid and reject me. To those who loved me and said these things, I now recognize that it did come from a place of love. They wanted me to be able to move forward from these terrible experiences and live a good life. But it also came from a place of genuine ignorance. They were trying to help me learn to do the thing they learned to do to overcome their own difficulties. They didn't know how to give me what I needed. They didn't know how to help me feel validated so I could share and learn and grow through it. And on top of that, most of them felt overwhelmed by hearing about it, and more than likely internalized some level of guilt for not knowing or being able to do anything back then. Being an adult now and having made similar mistakes with people I love, I can absolutely see where they may have been coming from, and I don't believe they intended to invalidate me. To those who rejected me and were even cruel, I believe these people were also overwhelmed, freaked out, and probably had no skill to be able to even approach these topics. And some of them might have been hiding their own hurts behind their cruelty. Most of them were young people who were not ready to be this kind of supportive. At the time, all types of invalidation would cause two things. First, I would feel intense shame, humiliation, and deep pain that reinforced my learned belief that I was unworthy of acceptance, love, close relationships, success, or happiness. I wasn't good enough, and I never would be. Second, it would silence me. As I had more of these experiences, I had greater periods of silence regarding my childhood trauma, neglect, and abuse. I couldn't tolerate being so rejected so often, even if part of the rejection and pain was created by my own perception. At some point, I just stopped talking about it. Through most of my 20s, I just didn't talk about it, except to my partner, who, thank God, has been so accepting, loving, and usually very validating of me through our whole relationship. But because of my other experiences, I was so afraid of losing him that I still held back most of the time. Even when I did talk to him about it, I didn't want to overwhelm him and scare him away. Silencing someone without addressing their needs, even if it's because you're surprised, overwhelmed, or have no idea how to respond, seems to be the most common invalidation outcome. In the last couple of years, I've had therapy from a validating, compassionate therapist. That has been profound in my healing process and my ability to overcome so much of my trauma so far. I've been able to be more open with my supportive family about my experiences, goals, and progress. I've been able to be more open with my partner, and because he's been healing himself, he's been more able to be open, receptive, and validating of me when I am discussing my experiences with him, and vice versa. And I'm practicing setting and respecting mine and others' boundaries when I am sharing or receiving regarding traumatic experiences. I'll talk about this more later, but learning how to communicate, share, and receive creates significantly greater success in getting what we all need when interacting with each other in these ways. So why does validation matter? Validation matters because if someone or something is validated, it's real. It's something that can be addressed and dealt with. If someone or something is invalidated, it feels as though it's not real or it's not real enough to matter. Validation creates love, release, closeness, acceptance, compassion, hope, trust, resilience, strength, and confidence. It creates healing, or at least part of healing. Invalidation creates shame, humiliation, self-doubt, self-hate, isolation, separation, silencing, hurt, anger, sadness, loneliness, self-consciousness, and low self-worth. There have been points along my healing journey that I have had an experience that had been so invalidated over time that I started doubting if it ever really happened, which caused a sense of anguish in me. It was a sense of deep dread and suffering coming from the part of myself that had that experience, that knew it was real and was being sort of suffocated. Then at some point along the way, I've had experiences, most of them with my therapist and my partner, some with my supportive family, of finally being validated, of being told genuinely that I was believed. What happened to me was absolutely wrong, that the people who did those things were sick and wrong and responsible for those abuses. And I have every right to feel exactly how I feel, and responding the ways I've responded makes complete sense based on what I've been through. Every time this happens, there's an experience of feeling overwhelmed with finally being seen and heard, with feelings of nervousness because if I keep going, is this love and acceptance going to go away? Feelings of grief for my former self and my former experiences, feelings of hope, self-love, self-forgiveness, self-recognition, and feelings of overwhelming gratitude and love for the person who's loving me in this way, in this moment. Validation often brings survivors to an emotional state, and for me, that usually means crying, sometimes sobbing, and then trying to keep talking through it. Validation matters because it takes an experience that causes someone to feel less than human and less worthy and turns it into a point of healing, growth, and strength. Validation matters because without it, we cannot heal. So how is validation created? It's a skill. I want to make this point very clearly. Validation is rooted in communication, and all communication is learned skill. Anything that is learned can be relearned, and anything that is a skill can be practiced, built, and mastered. After doing some research and relating to my experiences, I've come up with steps that I think can give you a kind of roadmap to validation, both receiving and giving. First, ask for permission from the person you're confiding in to speak to them about your experience. This can be in the form of asking them when they'd be available for it or if they're open to speaking now. Be honest about what you want to talk about. You don't have to say it outright, but you can say something like, "I've had something that's been really hard for me for a long time. I think it would help to talk about it. Would you be open to listening?" And then figure out when would be a good time to talk about it. As survivors, we gain power by taking responsibility for ourselves. Part of this is setting boundaries and respecting others' boundaries. A great way to set boundaries when seeking validation is to start by saying something like, "In the past, when I've discussed this, it's overwhelmed people, and they responded poorly, and it hurt me. If you feel that way, will you just let me know before you feel too overwhelmed or upset? I don't want to hurt you or our relationship." For the person being supportive, it is your responsibility to set and reinforce your boundaries also. To have a successful experience validating a survivor, please do so kindly but firmly. Let them know when you're available, for how long, and let them know when you feel overwhelmed or upset. Usually being genuine about your feelings is comforting to them, as long as it's accompanied by support. Like, "Wow, I know this is hard for you to talk about. I feel overwhelmed by it just listening. Would you be okay if we take a break? I want to hear your whole experience, but I'd like to take a breather so I can be present with you for the rest." This is a relationship builder, which means all involved need to be taken care of and considered. If you're not open to listening at all, you can let them know kindly. Something like, "I'm sorry, but I have a lot going on right now, and I don't have the brain space to really be open and present with you. It is okay to decline." To survivors, do everything you can not to take these interactions personally. Everyone is working from their own difficulties and needs, and sometimes they just don't match up with our own needs. Second, be present. This is part of the reason why sometimes you have to schedule it, so you can be mentally, emotionally, and physically ready to be open. Not rushed, not distracted, and in an unreceptive state, like worry or anger about something else. Third, listen. Let go of judgment. Let go of the urge to fix or find solutions. Be open to the reality that they may tell you shocking or heinous things. This is a mindset shift. Prepare beforehand. Be kind to them and to yourself with your self-talk. What you think will come across your face and body language. Ask for a break if you need one. Be honest but kind. To the survivor, do what you can to be completely open and honest. Be patient with yourself and your supportive listener. They are a human. They can't read your mind. They weren't there and won't know what happened unless you tell them. Share your experience, what you felt then, what you felt after, what you've experienced since, and what you're experiencing now. Number 4, accurate reflection of what you've heard. When the survivor seems like they are finished, restate back to them in your own words and understanding what you heard them say. Acknowledge their emotion. Acknowledge the source of their emotion and the experience. Speak back to them what you heard them say, not just with their words, but also their body language and facial expression. Show them your compassion and empathy. An example could be, "Wow, what a difficult thing you had to grow up with. What I heard is that you were spoken down to by the adults in your life throughout your whole childhood. They were cruel, invalidating, and didn't give you what you needed. It seems like you've really felt unworthy of love. You feel overwhelmed and anxious when you're complimented, and you don't believe you deserve to be successful. Am I understanding correctly? 5, acceptance. Show them that you accept them completely after learning about these difficult experiences and feelings that they've been dealing with. You can keep open body language and facial expressions. You can say something like, I love you so much, or I not only still see you as my good friend, but I feel like I understand you better and I can see how strong you are. Show them acceptance for their experience. You do not have to understand their experience or their reaction. You do not have to accept wrongdoings as appropriate. You do not have to agree with their feelings. Just show them acceptance for their experience. It is real to them. They are reacting to their experience and perception out of fear and self-protection. You can say, what you went through sounds terrible. There's no reason why that should have happened. You shouldn't have had to grow up in that. Or, your experience sounds terrible. I'm sorry you've gone through that. As a child, you and all of us are supposed to be loved, protected, and supported. Showing compassion and empathy. Compassion being feeling for them, and empathy being your understanding of what they have gone through. It's often difficult to relate to extreme or abnormal experiences. It's okay if you don't understand or can't relate. Just say so kindly. You can say something like, I'm so sorry you went through that. I can tell it really hurt you. I don't have a way to really know how that feels, but I'm here for you, and I want to understand and support you. 7, show interest. Ask questions. What types of things happened? How did they respond? How did it show up later? What do they need now? Be sure to only offer the help that you feel comfortable committing to. It is always okay to suggest that they seek out professional help or support groups. To the survivor, when someone suggests this in a loving way, they are truly trying to help and be supportive. Usually, this is when our supportive listener is at the end of their ability and skill to help us, beyond continued emotional support within their boundaries. The reality is that many of us have gone through things that are so heavy, so extreme, and so scary, even for someone who's just listening, that it takes an uninvolved, objective, and educated professional to help us unravel the trauma and heal. Most people aren't educated or emotionally equipped to successfully help with those more intense experiences. Most of the time they want to help, but they just don't know what else to do. 8. Try to end positively. Every time I've experienced successful validation, either giving or receiving, it's ended with positivity. Either making it known that I'll be sending best wishes, thoughts, and prayers their way, laughing about some part of it that's ironic, or just simply saying thank you and offering to be there in the future. So what not to do? First, as a supportive listener, your only job is to listen openly and show acceptance. Show them the love that you have for them. You don't need to fix it for them. You don't need to offer solutions. You are not responsible for how they feel. 2, don't accidentally invalidate them. It's sometimes easy to invalidate someone just because you don't understand their experience or need. Things to avoid accidentally invalidating someone. Do not compare their experience, feelings, or circumstances to anyone else. Just because someone else may have had an experience that was worse does not mean their experience or feelings are invalid. Saying this will only cause feelings of shame, humiliation, and the act of them shutting down. An example would be, well, it could have been worse. At least they didn't hit you like other people have experienced. Do not tell them to get over it. This can cause feelings and beliefs that they are weak, not good enough, and something's wrong with them that can't be fixed. Ways of saying get over it are, you need to move on, live in the present, stop living in the past, be positive, focus on the future. None of these are mean or bad, but they will cause someone to shut down. Do not blame the survivor. This is something I have been through. Sometimes it was direct and cruel, but sometimes it was an accident. Refrain from saying things like, you could have asked for help back then, or you weren't helpless, you could have stopped them, or why did it take you so long to say something, or anything else that might blame or question them or their experiences. do not empathize with the person who hurt them. I've had this experience where I confide in someone who could relate to one of my abusers, and they'd share their viewpoint with me. An example, it sounds like they were under a lot of stress and didn't realize what they were doing to you. While the comment may hold truth and you may be able to relate to them, first, they are still responsible for their actions and the effect their actions had on the child. Second, now is not the time to bring this up. Not when the experience is so raw and the healing is just at the beginning of being possible. These types of conversations might be able to happen at some point, but only after considerable healing work has been done and the survivor is ready to see their abusers as human again. And you have to be okay with this time potentially never existing. And finally, do not try to fix it or them. You are not there to provide solutions, only support. If they need help finding or creating solutions, this is where you can suggest looking into professional help, independent workbooks, or at least doing their own research regarding overcoming their specific mental-emotional obstacle. To survivors seeking validation from a supportive listener, respect the listener's boundaries and comfort level. For someone who hasn't gone through something similar to you, what you share can be overwhelming or difficult to know how to respond to. Respect their need for time to process in order to really be there for you if that's what they need. Do the best you can to relate your experiences without expectation for the listener to fix it or offer solutions. It puts them in an unfair position where they're being asked to help with something only trained professionals usually know how to help with. Be open to their love, acceptance, and even praise. This can be difficult for survivors, but if you can't accept what they are offering and you're asking for it, it may decrease the trust in the relationship because then the supportive listener can feel rejected. Know, state, and enforce your appropriate boundaries going into it. I like to keep it as simple as possible. I like to start by asking when they are available to talk, and when we start, I say, I need to share something heavy or intense or graphic, etc. Are you okay with listening? I'm not looking for solutions. I just need to be heard. And I ask them to let me know if it becomes overwhelming or they need to take a break. It sets the stage in a lot of ways and frames the conversation so there's an easy framework and set of rules that both sides are protected by. I also like to end the conversation or topic so they don't feel like they have to. I usually say something like, thank you for listening. It really helped. And then we can take a break and move on to hanging out or whatever else we might be doing. Just like all things that we have to practice and build, you are going to fuck it up before you get it right. And you're going to fuck it up some more before you do it really well dependably. I have fucked this up so many times. I still do, but I'm getting better at it. And the only way to keep getting better at it is to keep doing it. What do humans gain from validation? They gain reduced emotional arousal, which is intense emotions are accompanied by intense physical reactions. These intense reactions, when met with validation, are calmed and our brain activity increases again. Our love and relax hormones increase and our fight or flight response is mitigated. It increases trust, understanding, and a deeper connection within that relationship. Improved self-validation. Asking for and receiving validation is a chance to go from not understanding or accepting an experience to being able to name it and accept it and experience it and the emotions surrounding it. The more a survivor can do this with other people, the greater practice they have, and they naturally start doing it internally. So instead of always seeking external validation, they have the tools now to see experiences more clearly and make decisions about them. It's still a natural human experience to seek out validation, but self-validation can be a sign of healing, self-love, self-trust, and moving toward mental and emotional freedom. Validation is a critical communication tool and expression of love and acceptance in relationships. So critical, in fact, that parenting experts report that it's one of the most important things a parent can do to foster healthy psychological development in their children. That's from The Power of Validation by Karen D. Hall, PhD, and Melissa H. Cook, LPC. I'll link all resources for these discussions in the show notes. So what am I doing now regarding validation? I'm practicing setting and asking for appropriate boundaries before having heavy conversations. They rarely happen organically, and when that happens, it often interrupts something else. Setting and making time means we can really give the conversation our undivided attention. I'm practicing listening while being present. I tend to want to fix things or make light of it so that the other person isn't so uncomfortable. Discomfort in someone I care about, I internalize as something I did wrong and I want to fix it as quickly as possible. I remind myself that I didn't cause them this discomfort. They are an adult who is capable of being responsible for their experience. And either it's not about me, if I am the supportive listener, or they want to listen to and support me, and what I have to say is uncomfortable, and they are being open and genuine, which I want. I'm practicing having closeness and interactions with my family and friends, not needing to talk about it all the time. One great benefit of having a therapist is that I have someone dedicated to listening to every part of my experience, and I can say just about anything I need to, which helps me not feel like it's bottled up and I need to get it out somehow. The other things that help with this are journaling and now this podcast. Because I have other outlets and ways of seeking and giving validation in my close relationships, I can be more present when we are just hanging out, celebrating, or working together on a project. I get to have closer, more fun, and deeper relationships because we've created a situation where we can be vulnerable with each other. We've created boundaries that help us feel safe with each other, and we can more easily relate to each other. Validating creates freedom within yourself and within your relationships. It's vulnerability that is met with love and acceptance. Validation is necessary for healing, growth, maturity, confidence, and self-love. You are worthy of being validated. You are capable of creating strong, close, safe relationships. You are strong enough to do this difficult work. You are worthy of mental and emotional freedom. Just take it one day, one conversation, one task, one session, one goal, and one memory at a time. It will take practice, but you can do this. That's all for today. Thanks for listening. I'll talk to you soon. If you'd like to write in to ask questions, request topic coverage, share an experience, or let me know how I can improve your experience with the pause, you can email me at ctfolistener@gmail.com. If you want to see the pause in your feed, like and subscribe on Instagram and Facebook by searching at ctfopausecast. Disclaimer, I am not a mental health professional or even a life coach. This podcast is not a substitute for professional mental health help. I am simply a healing survivor working to support a community I am a part of. I always encourage you to reach out, do your research, and find the professional help you need to overcome your internal obstacles and move forward. To that end, I will always post in show notes any resources I find and use, and any that listeners send in, as a way to make it easier for you to find the help that you need. With so much love and support, I hope you're feeling awesome. But if you aren't, I hope you can find a way to chill the fuck out.